This time of year, I'm not that plugged into how things work in West Virginia and Ohio, but in this time of year in Pennsylvania, this is fishing season, right? April is the time when people just kind of really gear up. And when there's a beautiful day like today, you will find people lining the streams in Pennsylvania, just getting out for fishing. But I wanted to ask you this morning, as we begin to think about our calling, Jesus invites all of us to go out and to share that good news. He actually invites all of us, if you will follow me, in Matthew chapter 4, he says, if you will follow me, I will make you fishers of men. When you think of fishing, what comes to your mind? Do you have happy thoughts? I have two major thoughts that come to my mind when I think of fishing. And I'm sad to say neither of them are particularly good. The first one that comes to my mind is happened when I was just a kid. And we went out fishing with my parents out in a stream in Pennsylvania. There were a lot of rocks. And my constant reminder of fishing was, I'm snagged. Can you get me loose? Just this constant sense of not really fishing, not really getting in that harvest, but this constant battle about getting your hook loose from all of the rocks. And I think my parents spent most of the time just going from one kid to the next, either breaking the line, retying it, throwing it out, and almost as soon as it was thrown out, you're hooked on a rock again. So we did more fishing for rocks than we did for fish. The second story really comes from when I got to be much older, and we used to go to the beach on a regular occasion. And one time we decided we're going to go fishing in the deep ocean. We're going to go out to the Gulf Stream to go fishing. Yeah, some people have done this, know where this is headed already. And I figured this was going to be, because the ocean is really big, right? There can't be a whole lot of rocks in the ocean. So we went and we got on a boat and we went out to the Gulf Stream. And everybody told me and said, look, you know, if this is the first time you've been out on the ocean, you probably want to take some Dramamine, right? And I said, no, I'm pretty tough. How hard can it be? So we went out, and as we were going out to the Gulf Stream, we got past the breakers, we're headed out into the ocean, and the ocean that day was white-capped. And I thought, this isn't that bad because the boat is moving through the waves and we were coming pretty steady. And as we traveled for an hour or two, I said, this isn't too bad. I can handle this. I was made for the sea. And so we started to fish. And as we got to the spot, the captain got on and said, please prepare your rigging and because we're going to stop and we're going to start to fish. And so, okay, everything got ready. And all of a sudden, he did almost the unthinkable. He stopped the engine. And in the middle of the ocean, when you stop the engine, when you stop your forward progress, what happens? The ocean takes over. You have given your power to the ocean. And so we started rocking. And I don't just mean like this. I mean every 360 direction. And it took no more than 30 seconds for me to be on the deck, clinging to a post, begging people to get me back to land. 2 hours later, hanging on to that post, I recognized I was not made for the sea. So I want to ask you this morning, as we think about casting nets, Jesus is asking us, and he asks Peter, but do we hear it the same way Peter heard it? Peter just came off of the Sea of Galilee in Matthew chapter 4, and he's inviting Peter, and he says, Peter, if you will follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. But what does that mean to us? Do we sit here this morning and say, fishing? Me? I'm not cut out to be fishing. You know, I didn't sign up to be a fisherman or a fisherwoman. I didn't sign up for that. I signed up for the thing that says Christianity is going to make you happy and content. I signed up for the thing that says Jesus is going to make me holy, or Jesus is going to give me the answer to all of my problems. I didn't sign up for this fishing gig. That's not for me. But you know, Jesus doesn't give us an option, does he? He doesn't say, Peter, if you will follow me, I will give you one of the three or four following areas. He says, Peter, you will become a fisher of men. This morning, as we look at the Acts of the Apostles, if you remember last week, we looked at the end of John's Gospel when Jesus reinstates Peter. And at the end of that story, Peter is just lost. He doesn't know what his future has. So he goes back to the fishing that he's comfortable with, the one that really does involve water and nets and bait and the smelly fish. And he says, Peter, come back and follow me. When we think about what does that mean, we look to the Acts of the Apostles. How did they live this out? And so this morning, as we think about what does it mean to be fishing? What does it mean for us to really go out and to be fishing? We want to look at the Acts of the Apostles found in chapter 3 as Peter and John engage in fishing. Would you join with me as we center our lives on the Word of God? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe He has a purpose for my life. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all of the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if our own power or godliness had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and ask if a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the stories of Peter and John and for their witness, but we also recognize that we are called to follow in their footsteps, that we are called to continue to fish and to continue to bring people to you, to glorify your name through our life and through our words and through our actions. Father, we just pray that you continue to restore to us the hope that comes from knowing you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you think of fishing, what is it that you think of? You see, in Peter's time, if you would have asked Peter, "What does it mean, Peter, to be a fisherman?" What would he have said? He would have changed the way we understand fishing. You see, sometimes we get caught up in a distinction that we need to clarify this morning. Are we really fishing, or are we anglers? Do we change the way we look at what we're doing? This morning, as you think about your relationship both to Jesus and your own faith, let's consider a couple of things that help define who we are. When you want to go fishing, or when you get involved in your faith, do you do it to feel relaxed, to feel good about yourself, to relieve some stress and to solve all of your problems? When you think about your faith, is it a part-time activity? Is it something that you get involved with when you need to relax, to go out and experience the outdoors? Do you feel that your faith is something that you can do on your own, in your own way, with your own style? Is your faith something that is your very reason for being? You see, for Peter, fishing was who he was. It defined him. If you would have asked people in his community, who is that man over there? They said, oh, that's Simon, son of Joseph, who is the fisherman. It defined who he was. It was how he survived. It's what he did for a living. It was everything that was important to him defined him as a fisherman. But sometimes when we think of fishing, particularly in our own context, we think of it as a sport. It's something that we can do in our spare time, something we do to relax, something we do to feel good. But if we get too busy, then fishing is put off to the side. And what Jesus is inviting us to understand is that as fishermen, as we take on that mantle of faith, he said it defines who you are. It is your reason and your purpose for living. In our story this morning, is Peter and John encounter this beggar who is left at the gate called Beautiful. And what a wonderful imagery that Luke is painting for us. Here is this beggar in front of this gate that everybody knows is the gate called Beautiful. And of course, people are coming to the temple. And why are they coming to the temple? Because they want to feel good about themselves. Maybe it's the same reason that you've come here today. I want to know that my life is on track. I want to know that God is part of it. I just want to know that everything is all right with the world. And sometimes when we get into that mode of just thinking about what is it that we want, we walk right past the beggar who's needs our help. And so Peter and John are on the temple to pray. They're going through their Jewish rituals. When they encounter this beggar, but see, sometimes we can get so caught up in our agenda that we fail to see the people that are asking for help. But Peter and John are fishermen of the Master. And so Jesus, of all people, taught us how to see people with different eyes, how to see people as men and women of the kingdom. And so as they walk through the gate, they engage in this beggar. And I love the way that they engage him. They say, look at us. They look straight at him. They identify who he is as a real person. You see, so often it would have been easy for them to go through and drop a couple of coins in his beggars. I've done my fair share. Let's go on because we've got things that we need to do today. Important things. But they engage. They interrupt what they're doing in order to make him feel special. When we engage in fishing, fishing is all about going and gathering and giving. Going to the places where people are, going to find where the fish are, if you will. Gathering them together, recognizing that God is calling us to draw people to him. You notice that Peter and John, when they are challenged, how did this happen? They gather people together and then they point them to Jesus. They point him to the power behind their own lives. And then they give what they have. We all have something to give. So often when we talk about giving in the church, everybody goes to protect their wallet. As if that's the only thing, or if that's the most important thing that we really have. When in fact, the most important thing that you have is your presence. Are you willing to give your presence? Peter and John say, I do not have silver and gold, which is what you had wanted. But what I do have, I will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. When we become part of an active, growing church, a working church, we transform the way people understand the faith. So often, people think of Christianity as angling, as a part-time adventure that we can do for fun whenever it works into our schedule. But Jesus is calling a different kind of person, somebody that's willing to make it part of their identity, so that even when you're at the mall or you're at the grocery store or you're out with your friends, you're still looking for those opportunities because it identifies it. It's your identity of who you are. What is it that you have that's uniquely yours to share? your talent, your joys, your celebrations? What gifts have you been given that you can freely give? If you're not sure what your talents are, we're here to help you. Jesus has uniquely gifted you with some talent and some gift to make a difference in the world. We need to stop hiding those gifts under a bushel and begin to shine what we have to the world. Fishing offers the truth. We also recognize that many times people are listening to all kinds of things in the media about what truth really is. And of course, you remember that great line that Pilate has to Jesus when he's in a moment of turmoil, when politics has merged with religion, and he says, "What is truth?" Peter and John come and they point directly to Jesus. He said, "This is the story. This is why these things are happening." As Christians, you understand the story that is happening behind everything else in our lives. We're here to offer the truth. I love what Peter says at the very beginning. He says, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why should this surprise you that this man has the power to walk? Why is it that people stand up and make a difference in the world? Why is this so radically different? Why is it that we as a community want to be countercultural? We want to offer alternatives to the fighting that is happening in our country and in our own values. Why is it that you don't, when you look at our values and our virtues, that it shocks you? It's because of Jesus that we understand who we are and we identify what's going on. We offer the truth that Jesus has. When we gather people together, we don't bring them just together as a group. We bring them to somebody that can make a difference in their lives. But you know, one of the things that most of us have a trouble with is sharing our faith. And I think it's because there's some trigger words. Whenever we think of conversion, we think of the Spanish Inquisition. And we think that somehow, if we're going to convert people to Jesus, we've got to hold their heads underwater until they confess. But what we really need to understand is that we don't make people confess. We don't make people convert. We just show them the way. Your life is an arrow that's pointing to a different way of living. Jesus is the one that converts. Jesus is the one that transforms. When he says, "I will make you fishers of men," he's even talking to Peter, saying, "Peter, I'm going to transform your way of thinking, your life, into something different. I'm going to make you into something new." So just because you've confessed Jesus doesn't mean that you're finished. He is now in the process of working within your life. And fishing does not come natural to us. We have to be trained. We have to learn. We learn from those people that are older than us, that have lived longer, that understand how fishing is supposed to be done. We have to engage in practicing it. We have to learn where the fish are. We have to learn to read the landscape, the water, and understand the storm clouds. We have to be able to understand the culture in which we live. And most of the time, what we are most afraid of is that somebody is going to challenge us. That somehow they're going to argue with us, they're going to debate us, and they're somehow going to manipulate what we're trying to give into something that's wrong. And you see this an awful lot in the media today. And so what happens? All of the people that were called to fish have put their nets up to dry because they're not sure that they want to take on what's happening in our world. And so the man that is sitting there begging for some help will always be there as we pass by, because we have this idea that somebody else should take this on, somebody that's a bigger saint than we are. But this morning, I want you to know that you too can be a fisherman. You too can take on that mantle. And here's how you do it. You have to know your story. What is Peter doing? When Peter shares with the people that are gathered there, he's just sharing with them something he's already experienced. "You have already seen this," he says. "Why should this surprise you?" He tells them the story they already know. You see, the thing that we have to understand is that nobody can argue, nobody can debate, and nobody can manipulate your story, your life story. What is Jesus doing in your life? Why are you here today? What is it that's happening in your life? What joy has he brought to your life? What transformation has he brought to your relationships? How has he changed your view of your career and your future? Nobody can manipulate that. And so the first thing that I think we all need to recognize is we have a story to tell. We have a fishing story of how Jesus came into our life and transformed it from competition to contribution. Be honest. Tell what you know. If you don't know what it says in all through Leviticus, then don't go there. If you're not sure what Deuteronomy has to do with the book of Numbers, don't talk about it. But if you can say, I am with a group of people that care for one another, that serve people that need a help up, that need somebody to reach out and to give them hope, then tell that story and tell it with passion, but be honest about what you know. And if you don't know, just be honest and say, I'm a work in progress. I'm never finished. I'm not a saint now, but thanks be to God, I'm on the road. Be open. Talk about the times that you haven't always caught the big fish. Be honest and be open about the journey that you're on, about the steps that you're taking, about how people have helped you up and how you have helped in how you in return have helped others. Be honest about what you know. Be open about where you're going, and then be available. Peter and John had a mission. They were going to go to the temple to be religious. Why do you think that man was sitting in the gate on the way to the temple? Because that's where the religious folks were going. People that wanted to feel good about themselves. And what better way than dropping a couple of coin in a beggar's cup? And sometimes we need to be available to the people that really are asking for help. I think people are often sending us signals. They're asking to be entered into our lives. They're asking questions about our sincerity. So often we meet people and they say, how are you doing? And you just say, fine, how about you? But you really don't mean it, do you? Because we've got agendas, we've got things to do. When we tell our story, we're available. We make ourselves available. We recognize that Jesus draws fish to us. All we have to do is gather them in. And so we have to look constantly at where the fish are. Where is he leading fish to us? And then point them in the direction of the master. When you think of fishing in your own life, do you see it as a part-time sport? Something that you can do whenever you feel like it or whenever the water or the temperature is right? Or is it a lifestyle? Is it it's how you identify your own life and your own existence? When Jesus called his disciples, he was identifying their career, their purpose, their reason for being. When he invites us to cast our nets, he's really sharing, this is your reason for existence, to share the good news, to offer people the same joy and the same hope that you have. And so if you are ever in a group that doesn't want to share that message, that seems to be sitting more on their hands than walking on their feet and serving with those hands, then they haven't really met the master, have they? They haven't really been gathered in. And so as disciples, we need to ask ourselves, are we on that road to learning how to fish even better? To finding the waters that are bringing in the harvest? Because Jesus is going before us to draw them to us. This morning, think about your own journey. And think of the good news that Jesus is still using us. He's still teaching us. He's still engaging us to go and find that harvest. But we need to start taking down our nets and begin throwing them, that the harvest might come in and that we would experience the abundance that the disciples had. Because the story tells us that in the end, that man went walking and leaping and praising God. And when you find a community that is doing that together, it transforms your life and the lives of those around us. It's worth the risk. Let us pray. Father God, we just give you thanks for the good news that we get to engage with you in transforming the world. But Father, we need to begin to take on the role to be fishers of the world, fishers of those that need our help and those that are longing for help and for hope. Allow us, Father, to just gather in those that you draw to us. In Jesus' name, amen.